Hello, everyone, and welcome to the premiere episode of Football NYC Big Blue Breakdown. Joe Callow, along here with former NFL tight end, former New York Giant, and current sideline reporter for the New York Giant, the one and only Howard Cross. How you doing, Howard?
Hey, Joe. What's going on, man? What's happening?
Isn't this great? This is audio only, no makeup needed, and Joey's going to work it up later so you sound like Harry Belafonte.
I like that. I like that. I'm a handsome dude, though. You can get me on camera. It's fine.
We picked some week to start this show because we're coming off a loss at Giants Stadium against the San Diego Chargers, mm-hmm. where the Giants have really been in a tailspin for this past month. The Giants started out so strong, 5-0 this season, given it was against bad opponents. But what I've always said, and you being a former player, you never apologize for your schedule.
Yeah, you never apologize for your schedule, but you do have to admit it was against bad players. And you can't read your own press clippings in those moments. You just got to try to get better and better every week. And they did get better towards the end of that, but they didn't really close out teams. They should have, like, really dominated these teams. They only had one really dominating performance. That was against the Raiders. And outside of that, they were just winning games. When you start playing teams like New Orleans, the Eagles, it starts to come back to you. Even Arizona, which should have never beaten the Giants, beat the Giants. You know, the Giants should have definitely won the Arizona game. They should have definitely won the San Diego game, but.
And beside this past week, the game that really bothered me was the Arizona game. Because given, you know, the New Orleans Saints, you know, we talked about it before the game. A lot of people should have saw this coming with the Giants because they played a lot of bad teams and they went into New Orleans and they ran into a buzzsaw. But the Arizona game, there's no reason why the Giants just really looked. They had no emotion that night. They showed nothing on offense. It just looked like they didn't even want to play that night.
Well, you got to think about this. You know, that's up to the coaching staff and the players themselves. You can't look at things. What happens is if you read the paper, and regardless of what they're saying, if you listen to the paper, if you read the paper, listen to the radio, you watch SportsCenter, the pundits are talking about and telling you what you should be doing. Oh, you should definitely beat the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, you should definitely beat the San Diego Chargers. Oh, there's no way you can lose 3 in a row. Oh, you no way you can lose 4 in a row. Okay, they're not playing.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. So when you hear that, I mean, it was a time, I think one year with Coach Fossil, we were rushing the ball. We were averaging like 250, 300 yards a game or something. We were unstoppable. But the Redskins were such a high-powered offense that the pundits were saying, there's no way these guys can run the ball like that and expect to beat the Redskins. So we go out in the game and we throw the ball all over the field. We stop running the ball. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So you guys are watching TV and you change your philosophy.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
And people like all the reporters. Let me ask you, can you turn this from a negative spin now? Because now all the reporters are saying the Giants will not make the playoffs. The Giants are in a tailspin now. Their heads are mentally not in it anymore. They have the losing mentality now. Mm-hmm. Do you think like now that can work for the Giants in a positive way? Because you've been on teams that have had, you know, I remember the Dan Reeves team that lost 7 games in a row and then came back to win 6 to almost make the playoffs. And you know this Tom Coughlin team has a lot of talent on it. And you know even the year they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, they only had 10-6 record.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think it could happen in a positive way for the Giants?
Well, the thing they got to do is they got to take this last game and really break it down and look at what happened. You know, the game didn't get lost on that last series, which a lot of people will say, how did they run down the field and score a touchdown? The game got lost on, first off, you mishandled a field goal. When you do that, and the way you know it was mishandled, the entire group stopped. The San Diego stopped, the Giants stopped,
yeah.
And they're like, hey, still got the ball, and then they jump on it. Okay, that's a problem.
And it was the opening drive,
yeah,
which was really setting a tempo for the game. It had the crowd in it.
It even more so, it should have happened and it didn't. Now you go through the game, the defense shuts them down. Literally shuts them down. They only have 150 yards going into that last few minutes of the game. And then, you know, you have an opportunity. You got a quarterback who's one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid, player on the planet in football. Throw the ball into the end zone.
Yeah.
You know, throw the ball. Your first play, you throw a bubble screen. I wouldn't necessarily throw that.
No.
I go to the edges. You use your tight end who's 6'6". You go for the end zone. You move the ball down the field. And they didn't do that. And that's Coach Coughlin saying, I'm banking on the defense, but he's also saying, I don't have confidence in you, Eli.
Which is not good because Eli had a really good game. I mean, Eli percentage-wise was great. I remember he, you know, going out of the first half, his percentage was great. And it wasn't like he was throwing, you know, a lot of balls into the other team's hands when he has a tendency to do that and they drop the ball so he escapes some interceptions. But coming off the injury, you know, a couple of weeks ago, this has been the best that he's looked. This has been the best that he's looked, though. I mean, he looked terrible. He looked terrible against Arizona. He had nothing behind it. And against the Eagles, I mean, the whole team just looked awful. But this was a spot where I really thought that Tom Coughlin saw that the carrot was right there going into the bye. We could get a win now. This team was dead on the ropes. When Thomas takes that ball down to the four-yard line, that team was dead. That team was buried. And you saw Jacobs on the next play, ran it to the one. I don't even care about the holding call, but you don't try to poke it in the end zone once.
Well, you know, it's more important when you look at this, if you realize, like, what confidence is. He looked at a defense that barely – they escaped some plays.
Yeah.
So, you know, some great plays, but they escaped some plays. A couple big drops by the San Diego Chargers, and it's a different-looking game going into those final seconds. And what happens is he puts his confidence in those guys who, you know, Antonio Gates is going to continue to drop the ball. Jackson's going to have another drop. No, they're not. They're Pro Bowl players, and they're going to make plays. When he should have said, okay, Eli is looking pretty darn good right now. We need to stay with him. And he didn't. He went. He had to make a choice. He chose the defense, and it cost him.
And what was eerie about the end of this game is it reminded me of how the Giants have been winning road games the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been where the other team could really shut the door on the Giants, and they don't do it. They'll set it for a field goal. They'll leave the door open for Eli to drive them down in the last minute or two in the game, and the Giants usually get a win like that on the road. And it was very eerie how that game worked out, where it really worked against the Giants this time, and the Giants put themselves into a corner now. They're going into the bye week. They really need to come out firing against the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to talk about that in the second segment of the show. We're going to look ahead, and Howard's going to give some ideas on the way the Giants can improve the overall state of the team. This has been Football NYC. Big Blue Breakdown, Joe Callow, Howard Cross.
Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com.
We are back. Segment 2, Football NYC's Big Blue Breakdown. Joe Cal along with former Giants tight end, the one, the only, Howard Cross. Giants sideline reporter. And you know, Howard, you've been down the sidelines for the last couple of weeks, and you've seen the mentality of this team. A lot of people are writing this team off, even though a couple of years ago when they won that Super Bowl, they were 10-6, and they had a little lull, you know, in the middle of the season in November. What do you think are the top things that the Giants need to do to break out of this?
Well, right now they've done it so far. They played better on offense. They played better on defense. They played better in the special teams. The problem they had in this game is they had a few untimely penalties. And that's what cost him. I think penalties, believe it or not, are the easiest thing to clean up. So if you go out and you can play at the same level of intensity, getting turnovers, getting sacks, pressure on the quarterback, running the ball with some kind of aggression, you know, that's the thing you can do to win games. The problem I have right now with the Giants is they're going to have to take a little self-evaluation on, you know, this whole rotation thing, getting guys coming in the game, coming out of the game. I want my best players on the field at all time. And if you feel like you need to take yourself out, you need to check your own oil and see what's going on there. Also, Brandon Jacobs, big guy running, carrying 8-9 guys running the ball. But when you come out in third and one, you can get checked on the sideline and come back in the next series. Not good. You got to get up, shake it off, get in there and lean into that pile. All right, you get the first down, come off, let them check you, go back into the game. It's a very strange moment, a strange era in football that we're living through when, you know, rest and being – you have to watch certain teams. You watch the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Their big defensive end never leaves the field.
Never leave. And the Giants have been rotating, and I understand they did that in a Super Bowl season. But, you know, a guy like Ozzie Umenyiora and Tuck, and now you went out and spent a lot of money on Canty.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand he's coming back from an injury, but he can't leave the field. I mean, you have to keep your best players out there.
The way to lead the field is three and out.
Yeah.
That's the way you lead the field. But you got to be able to do it. Now, I understand that there's no packages and everything is different. Again, it's going to be a little self-evaluation. Some of these guys got to look in the mirror and say, hey, you know what? If you say I could have made that play, then you should have been in the game.
Yeah, and I want your observation of how Michael Boley's doing, because I was really happy when the Giants got them, because I don't think Antonio Pierce can drop back in coverage anymore. He just doesn't have the speed, and that's partly because of his age. And I think Boley was acquired to help out in situations with guys like Westbrook, and he just couldn't stay on the field one injury after another. He played a full game this week, and I just think that he's another guy. I get nervous every time he makes a tackle because he gets up limping, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. And I think he's one of the main guys, beside Canty. I mean, you need the pass rush. Mm-hmm. But Boley's an important piece of that defense.
Well, first off, it's not fair to say he gets injured all the time. That's just not fair. He got injured in the preseason, hip surgery. That's just part of what happened when he came in torn labrum or something. They tacked it on. He gets better. He comes in, and right away you can see the effects of Boley. Not having a linebacker of that type, caliber, or speed since Jesse Armstead. Yeah. The kid's fast. Every game he has 7, 8, 9, 10 tackles. It is because he's all over the field. You don't throw the ball out in the flat anymore because Boley will be there. You don't throw the ball in the middle because Boley's going to be there. And that's the kind of player that the Giants need. Him coming back, having some unfortunate injury in the Kansas City game, and now coming back a week early. He was supposed to sit out, until the bye.
Yeah.
But they needed him. He came back, and now he's making plays. My question is going to be not just Canty coming back, but Aaron Ross. If you can get Aaron Ross back in the game and he is close to he doesn't have to be 100%, but he's got to be pretty close to it the games that are coming up with Denver, the games that are coming up with the Cowboys, the Eagles. You're going to need a guy at his full ability to take on some of these receivers.
And I saw that Sintem got extended playing time this week. Do you see him being a part of this team in the second half of the season?
I think that came in a little bit after, and don't want to give too much away, but there was a play in the goal line where, Antonio Pierce gets picked, and Danny Clark's out there. They come off the sideline, and Antonio Pierce is not very happy with what went on. The next play, you look up, and Sintem's in the game. Right now, players in the Giants can play themselves out of the position of being on the field. And that's, guys are realizing that. They're not arguing with it. They just want to win games. They're going to try to do everything they possibly can to make plays. And you can't guess now. You have to be there to do your job.
So when we step back and we look at this team going into the second half of the season, we all thought the NFC East was going to be a powerhouse. I'm not too sure now because I think Dallas is a good team. I don't think they're a great team. But this is the same team the Giants went down there and beat. And also Philadelphia. Philadelphia's a weird team because they could look so great some weeks and then lose to the Raiders. So do you think if the Giants, play a decent schedule now the second half of the season, that they could even challenge for the top spot in this division?
Well, first off, let's think about this. The reason why Dallas is playing so much better is that the onus is not on the stadium anymore. Before it was Jerry's World, how they're going to play in Jerry's World, and that was a big, big thing. Now the onus is on just them playing and having fun. And that's why you get a kid like Miles Austin. And I'm going to tell you something. Love that kid.
Yeah.
Every time you see him play, he's not begging for the ball. He's not crying. He's not in the press. He just smiles and plays.
Yeah.
Love him. On the opposite side or on the other field, you get the Philadelphia Eagles, who they're up and down. You're not really sure. It could be interesting. But the way for the Giants, really, if you look at it from a real perspective, there are some teams that are 4-4 right now. The Giants have four losses.
Yeah.
What they got to do right now is they got to come back in. The first week they play Atlanta. You got to give Atlanta their fourth loss.
Yeah.
You do that, you get the tiebreaker with Atlanta. Denver, play them tough, try to win. It'd be great if you could. It's all right. Dallas, play them tough, try to win. It'd be great if you could, but you don't have to. The Eagles, you have to win that game.
And it's two home games against Dallas and the Eagles. You have to win these games.
If you win against Atlanta,
yeah.
If you win against the Eagles, then you take out Washington, Carolina, and Minnesota, who will not be playing for anything. Someone said to me earlier, oh, they'll be playing for home field advantage. I'm like, no, not really. I think the Saints will have home field advantage wrapped up.
All right.
I think they will. So that gives you the Giants coming in on a quote-unquote wild card spot going forward. Dallas, if they slip up, then the Giants will have them. But in the way I look at it, it's more about Atlanta must win. Philadelphia must win the last three, you're in. That right there is 10-6.
And we're going to go into detail about the Atlanta game on next week's show. Howard, it's been a pleasure on the premiere episode of Football NYC's Big Blue Breakdown. Thank you very much. I will talk to you next week. And fans, keep coming back to YesNetwork.com for all of your football needs, my regular Football NYC show with Ross Tucker, and later in the week for the big video broadcast with myself and Joe Auriemma. See ya.
We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion and all disillusion behind. Just like birds of a feather, a rainbow together we'll find. For life.